From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. The prosecution has rested its case against admitted al-Qaeda member Zacharias Moussaoui. As one of the last pieces of evidence, jurors heard the first public airing of the cockpit voice recording from United Airlines Flight 93. The recording documents a desperate struggle by passengers to retake the plane. It eventually crashed into a field in Pennsylvania. NPR's Larry Abramson was in the courtroom, and he has this report.
The tape recording the jury heard was difficult to make out due to the rush of the jet engines and the fighting inside the plane, but linked with a transcript and translation of remarks in Arabic, the tape provides a dramatic narrative for the only hijacking that did not reach its intended target on 9/11. The tape only captures the last 30 minutes of the flight and begins after the cockpit has been seized. A hijacker, probably pilot Ziad Jarrah, tells passengers, "Here, the captain, please sit down. We have a bomb on board, so sit." While Jarrah tries to take control of the plane, he and another hijacker appear to be subduing the pilot and co-pilot, saying, "Go ahead, lie down." A crew member appears to be groaning and says, "I don't want to die." The judge decided to keep the tape under seal, but it has been played before for family members like Hamilton Peterson, who lost his parents on Flight 93.
What I heard was at least two people in what are likely their final moments pleading for their lives, recognizing they were going to die.
For much of the tape, the hijackers methodically and quietly go about their business. A display constructed from the plane's data recorder shows the 757 making a U-turn over Ohio as Jarrah heads the plane southeast toward Washington, D.C. About 25 minutes after the hijacking, there are signs the passengers are trying to fight back. One hijacker says in Arabic, "The best thing, the guys will go in, lift up the, and put the axe into it, so everyone will be scared." Hamilton Peterson says family members listened to the tape on headphones and could hear much more clearly what was going on.
I surmise that he was guarding the cockpit door from the outside. What was also clear, having heard it on headsets, was that at least two terrorists inside the cockpit had foolishly and mistakenly believed that by holding the axe, the fire axe, up to the inside people, that it might intimidate, quote, all of those guys who were charging the cockpit from the outside.
Soon there's a loud and violent struggle as passengers try to break the door down. Jurors heard the sounds of crockery breaking. Passengers may have used a service cart as a battering ram. "Shall we finish it off?" a hijacker asks. "No," another answers. "When they all come, we finish it off." The battle continues. A voice says, "I am injured." "Up, down, Saeed," says a hijacker, perhaps speaking to hijacker Saeed Al-Ghamdi. The hijackers rock the plane violently from side to side, perhaps to throw the passengers off balance. Then they give up the fight and repeatedly say, "Down, down," as they push the controls to the right and down. They repeat, "Allah is greatest," as the jet plummets earthward, rolls on its back, and smashes into the ground. The Flight 93 tape is one of the last things the jury will have heard before the defense takes over tomorrow. The violence of the struggle in the cockpit adds another detail that prosecutors hope will stay with those jurors as they hear the defense argue for Moussaoui's life. Former federal prosecutor Andrew McBride says the tape of Flight 93 and the images of World Trade Center victims jumping to their deaths all point toward one conclusion.
These individuals who flew these loaded jet planes loaded with fuel, highly flammable fuel into these buildings, knew that the victims would be confronting torturous death. And that's really the message behind the people grabbing hands and jumping out of a 110-story building rather than face the kind of fiery death that awaited them.
For this second phase of the trial, prosecutors chose to focus completely on the victims and their families. They made no mention of Zacharias Moussaoui. As defense attorneys get started on Thursday, they must refocus attention on Moussaoui and change the jury's impression of the man who more or less admitted his own guilt during the first phase. Defense attorneys have indicated they will tell the story of Moussaoui's rough upbringing and the mental illness his attorneys say he suffers from. Richard Jaffe specializes in defending capital cases. He says attorneys also need to revisit the question of whether Moussaoui's testimony was more than a boast.
In some sense, they're going to have to do one of the most bizarre things in the world, and that is they're going to have to take on the burden of discrediting their own client.
Here, once again, the biggest obstacle may be Moussaoui himself. He has previously resisted defense efforts to depict him as mentally ill and may insist once again on taking the stand. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
As Larry mentioned, the court is not making audio of the cockpit recording available, but it did release a transcript. You can see that at our website, npr.org.